My name's Matt, and I'm the senior pastor here at One Hope. A big welcome to you, particularly if you're new here tonight. A very big welcome to you. We just want you to feel welcome and at ease in our midst. I know it's a big thing if you come to church for the first time, particularly if a lot of things about this are a little strange to you. We're probably a little strange too. We'll own that. That's fine. No, not really. Look, we'd love to get to opportunity to get to know you. But listen, absolutely no pressure. We're always having new people coming along. One of the things I love actually about our church is that it's very much an open community. We've always got people amongst us who are just exploring faith and just checking things out. And I think at one point in your life, you've got to do that. I think that's a really important thing to do. And so we just want you to feel welcome and absolutely no pressure. Great to have you with us tonight, particularly tonight, because this is we're going to move into a time of baptism. And I just want to take just a couple of minutes to explain to you what we're doing here. This is something that the church has been doing for 2,000 years, right since the beginning. And baptism is a way in which we respond to God's invitation to us to commit ourselves to Him. We were always meant to live our lives walking with God. And even though we go our own way and even though we get things wrong, God actually came to us in Jesus Christ to pay for our guilt so that we could be reconciled with Him. And all we need to do actually is recommit ourselves to Him. The way is open. And the way that we signify that is through baptism. And baptism, the symbolism of baptism, right since the times of the early church 2,000 years ago. I know you've probably heard of this or seen this done in a lot of different ways. The very earliest form of baptism actually was what you're going to see very much tonight. It was a matter of going down into water and coming back up. And the symbolism is important because this is a symbol of new life. Just as Jesus went into the grave and rose again, so when we say yes to Him, when we say yes to God's invitation, it's like leaving something behind and taking up a completely new kind of life. And in a way, we all need to do that again and again. But there's a decision that we signify through baptism. It's that once for all decision to say, right, this is how I'm going to live my life. I am going to live my life walking with God. I'm going to say yes to His invitation. And that's such an important decision that we use this very dramatic symbol to say that. The going down into the water, there's a sense of being washed as well and coming up to new life. And it's a beautiful, beautiful symbol. And so tonight you're going to see three young women doing that. You're going to be hearing from them, hearing a little bit of their story. And I'm going to, first of all, invite Sally and Zara to come on up and join me up here. And I want you to give them a massive round of applause.
Well, just over 18 years ago, I had a phone call from my sister to let me know that she'd had her first baby. And here she is standing next to me. And so 18 years ago, I was holding this young woman as a little baby. And so it's particularly special. It's a core memory happening for me here tonight to witness and be a part of Zara declaring in front of all of you that she is choosing to follow Jesus with her life. So Zara's going to share a little bit of her story with us. Go for it.
Oh, that's a surprise. Well, I just thought I'd let you know that I've kind of been seeing this guy like on and off for a while now. And we kind of just came to this conclusion that like, we just decided we should go public with it. So his name's Jesus. Yep. Excuse my voice. Sorry, I'm recovering from a cough. Anyway, my name is Zara. For those of you that don't know me, I've been in this church most of my life. I moved to Geelong when I was 3 for my dad, Jono, to pastor here and for our family to call One Hope our home church, I guess. Because of this, I haven't really had a life outside of an idea of a faith in Jesus or a relationship with Jesus. It's always been quite familiar to me. However, I've felt guilt at times that I've not been good enough of a Christian, and having moments of doubting Jesus, though those moments never exceeded that belief that Jesus exists. For a long time, it was really hard to accept love or feel like people knew me well enough to know me, to love me, sorry. This included Jesus and caused me to feel guilty about accepting a love that I knew I didn't deserve, especially someone who grew up in the church. Sorry. This guilt I felt about not being good enough for Jesus also spread into other areas of my life. All of my life, I remember feeling unlovable. But at the start of 2022 specifically, I wasn't secure in who I was at all. Throughout year 10, this insecurity got progressively worse, and I developed anorexia. The end of that year was very low for me, and I couldn't feel anything deeply, if at all. It was like... It was like there was a limit to how much I could think or feel, meaning I couldn't think about Jesus for a long time as well. Continuing into 2023, year 11, my situation accidentally forced me into eating more, which caused more guilt and sent me into a depression. The majority of last year, things got worse and I couldn't think about Jesus at all together. My health developed into additional disorders and more negative thoughts, which I was unfortunately completely content with at the time. I obviously knew about Jesus and I wanted a relationship with him, but I also was very comfortable in my struggles. Around September, I found myself in a conversation at school with a friend last year. I hadn't intended for this conversation to be about me, but you should know that I'm quite an emotional person, clearly. And holding in that much for so long without sharing any of it was a lot. I hadn't cried for months and I felt numb, and I ended up crying to her. I didn't tell her a lot, but I implied that I didn't feel as if life was worth living anymore. And I didn't think anyone cared whether I did care. She basically replied, "If you keep living the way you are, I'm scared you'll die." From here, it was like a switch flipped inside of me. I was so comfortable in my depression, so I'm not sure what made me make decisions to get better, but I know it wasn't me. I started to face things I was afraid of and trying to seek help. As much as this was and is still so difficult and my struggles still affect me, I also knew that food would allow me to think about Jesus longer than it did. I love to sing and I love to worship, and I knew that if I began to eat again, it meant that what I was singing would feel genuine to me. These behaviours are still there, and I still struggle with these thoughts, but I can feel Jesus' love in a way I couldn't before at all, despite understanding that I don't deserve it now. Him loving me even at my lowest is a true testament to the gracious and kind nature of our God. And it's more reason for me to live as much like him as I can, so that I can share a joy similar to the joy a relationship with him gives me.
So this is my amazing and beautiful friend, Pia Osborne. And I've been so blessed to know her for many years, but to be on this journey of you exploring faith for about the last 4 years. So why don't you share with us what God's been doing in your life?
Okay, hello everyone. I didn't grow up with religious parents going to church, but I had friends who were Christians. And honestly, I always found my Christian friends to be honest people who had this love for people and a love for life. It wasn't really until the pandemic, it was the year I thought I'd get back into regular teaching, only to be spending my days at home, isolating on my own with small children. was really when I had to sit with myself and it made me reevaluate my priorities, my values, and get back to the basics of living in alignment with my soul's purpose. I did the Alpha course, joined a women's life group, thanks to Bridie, talking about the realness of life, the ups and the downs in real depth, the meaning of life, listening to life after death stories and miraculous testimonies, seeing miracles happen around me. There was no denying the absolute truth that we are spiritual beings living a human experience, that there is so much more, and knowing about that other dimension of life, it fills my cup and it fills my soul. It's life-changing, and everyone knows that I don't shy away from telling all my non-Christian friends that I go to church. I invite them along to events, send them podcasts of the brilliant sermons in a hope that really they too will be changed on that soul level to have a relationship with God and learn about the life of Jesus and the practical teachings to live by. It's made me see life and my worldview in a way that has empathy with others, that values our connectedness to each other and this planet in all its miraculous glory. I want to know that I've left that legacy to my children, that they can give their problems to God, pray on them, give thanks, and really understand that they're here on this earth with a purpose, that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, that we all have treasure of God's purpose and intention inside each one of us to enrich the lives of others. And by asking God to reveal those gifts, he will put us in situations whereby our strengths are made known. Not long ago, when I was reading with my boys one night, I came across this verse and it stopped me and overwhelmed me. Now, this is a verse that if you've been going to church for a while and you're a Christian, you would know it. But at the time, I didn't know it. And it is, "The Lord is my shepherd," a Psalm of David. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely the goodness and mercy shall follow me all of the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever."
So beautiful. Can we put our hands together?
This is Tilly, and this is a very special night for me because actually I remember Zara when you were about three. I remember seeing you at church, growing up in this church, and Pia and I went to high school together, and now I get to stand with this beautiful woman who turned up here on Christmas Eve of all services, didn't you, last year? And I got the privilege of meeting Tilly and talking to her. Oh, we've got an escapee streaker on the stage. No, she's got her clothes on, sorry. And I got to chat to you, and as soon as I met you, Tilly, it was very, very obvious that you were on a journey and God was drawing you to himself. And it was beautiful to chat with you and pray with you and to walk alongside you this past year. And yeah, we just think you're incredible. So we're so excited. So here we go. If you need help with the phone, I've got you back here. Or do you want me
Thank
to hold
you.
This?
Yeah, you can hold it. So I grew up in an atheist family and my friends growing up were all atheists. And despite not knowing God, one thing I always felt in my heart was that everything happens for a reason. Not having grown up around churches or having Christian friends, I had no idea about Jesus or prayer or what that was. A few years ago, I was at work and I was under a lot of stress and I was really struggling. Seeing how I wasn't myself, a very dear friend of mine who is a Christian asked if he could pray for me. This was the first time anyone had ever prayed for me and I was really impacted by the words and the love that I felt in that moment. And this was the first time I'd felt the love of Christ. And despite that beautiful moment, my life did carry on as per normal. But 12 months ago, I was a complete mess. I was very broken, and as a way to cope with trauma and stress, I turned to alcohol and drugs. I used them to numb pain and to help with my emotions. I felt very hopeless. And I do have incredible, beautiful and a loving family and great friends who all support me, but it still wasn't helping me to cope. I hit rock bottom and I ended up in the hospital. And during this time in the hospital, God put it on my heart to ask a Christian friend of mine to take me to church. I could see the joy and peace in my Christian friends that I so desperately wanted. December of last year, my friend brought me here to One Hope. And the minute I walked in the building, I felt immediate comfort. And during that service, I broke down and I asked my friend what was happening. And he told me that God was revealing himself to me. And since that day, it's been an incredible journey. God has taken my heart of stone and breathed life into it. God completely changed my heart and my desires and brought to me a peace that I have never known. I came to understand the gravity of my sin, and I really wrestled with God because I had a hard time believing that he could forgive me for the life that I had lived previously. I said to myself that I wouldn't get baptized until I could fully accept his forgiveness and really allow my old self to die. I know today that Christ, through his word and his love, has shown me that there is nothing I can do to earn my salvation. It was achieved by Christ's death on the cross. However, I'm comforted by the words of Jesus when he says, "All those the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never drive away." One more bit. Christ died on the cross to save sinners like me, and I am grateful for what he did for me. And today I am outwardly showing you all that Christ is my Lord and Saviour.
What an amazing night. You may be seated. Just as we finish, and we're going to have our worship team lead us in another song in a moment. But just as we close for a few minutes, I'd like us to reflect on probably one of the most important questions. I would say this is the most important question that you could ask yourself. And I just think this is such a fitting way for us to finish our night. And that question is, what is it that God really wants of me and you? What is it that God really, really wants? Now, of course, the answer to that question depends on who you think you are to God. Now, a lot of people around the world, and in fact, this has been one of the most common kind of religious views of human beings, that, you know, we're like the servants of God, that we're kind of a bit of a second thought, that that we just need to live as well as we can, and that God's kind of sitting up there in heaven and he's examining us, and, you know, we're like employees with KPIs and all that sort of thing, and God's sitting back and he's watching us live our lives. We've got to try and live as good a life as possible, you know. And I think people perhaps express this view when they say things like, well, I feel like I've lived a good life, and, you know, I think God will accept me. But the problem is, it's based on a misunderstanding about what God most wants from us. Because we're not just lowly servants, we're not employees. No, who we think we are is very important to how we answer that question. Now, according to the Bible, and the Bible is unique in this sense, in that there is no higher view of human beings than what we see described in the very first chapter of the Bible. It's reconfirmed right through the Bible, right up until the point when God inhabits our humanity and inhabits our human predicament, and he bears all of our pain and our guilt to make a way for us to come back to him. The Bible upholds such a high value of human beings because we are God's children. We are God's children. Now, there's an aspect of that view of humanity that actually most of us, in fact, I would say to some extent, all of us in this room already believe, because it's the basis of our whole system of values in our world. It's all our ideas of human rights and human dignity that are embedded into our cultural system actually all come from that. We are children of God. Now, this means that the thing, therefore, if that's the case, the thing that God most wants is exactly what I would most want. And I have kids and they're grown-up kids now, but it's exactly, every parent in the room would understand this. The thing that I would most want if my kids were out there and for some reason they were alienated from me, the thing that I would most want would be to have my kids back. I would want my children to come home. What God most wants is exactly what we saw signified tonight. It is the exact decision that we saw signifying tonight. Three young women who have said, yes, I am coming home. I'm going to live my life walking with God as daughters of the Most High God. That is the thing that God most wants. And so maybe for you here tonight, maybe you're a Christian here, you need to be reminded of that, because I think a lot of Christians can lose sight of that because we get, you know, preoccupied with, it's though God sends us off and go off, live a good life and then come back to me and check in. It's like, no, that's not how it works. He wants to be united with you. He wants you to walk with Him closely. He has a purpose for you and He wants you to walk in that purpose. It's such a beautiful thing. I've been a Christian for 35 years, like a couple of the women who we heard from tonight. I didn't have any Christian background. And I made the decision that they made tonight, and I've been walking with God ever since. And it is the most beautiful thing because I know the pathway is already set out before me. And He is not only made a pathway before me, but He will walk with me in it. And that is the most beautiful way to live. It's not an easy way to live, always. We go through the same sort of things as everyone else, but we don't go through it alone. And so I would implore you tonight to understand how much God wants you to come home to Him so that you can walk with Him. And I'd like us to stand tonight as we close. And as I said, the music team is going to lead us in another song. Man, what a night. I just love this stuff. It's so good. But I want to tell you tonight, you can be part of this too. And it begins with a simple decision, because God doesn't force Himself upon us. All we have to do is lift a little finger. The Bible says, whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. And so I'd like us just to bow our heads and just take a moment before we finish tonight. I just like you to close your eyes and consider this. And if tonight you would like to say yes to God's invitation to you through Jesus Christ, if tonight you would like God to reveal Himself to you, even maybe you're not sure and you just need, you just want God to put His hand upon your life and help you through this, I would just ask you tonight, and I'm not going to ask you to do anything else, just while everyone's eyes are closed, I would just ask you tonight just to stick up your hand and I'd love to pray for you. Just, you can stick it up, put it down again. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Is there anyone else here? You can just stick up your hand and put it down again and I'd love to pray for you. And then we're going to pray together. Even as I'm praying, please feel free to stick your hand up tonight if that's you. Father in heaven, for everyone who is opening their heart to you tonight, I pray, Lord God, you would put their hand upon them and lead them, Lord God. You who are the good shepherd who leads us in paths of righteousness beside green pastures and still waters. Father, I pray that you would put your hand upon each person tonight as they respond to you. Would you pour into their hearts? We're going to put a prayer on the screen tonight. And I just thought it'd be really good if we could pray this prayer together tonight. And particularly if you feel like you want to pray this for the first time and say yes to God's invitation, why don't you pray this with us? My God and my Heavenly Father, thank you for what you did in Jesus Christ to save me. Forgive me for all I have done wrong. I commit myself to you and to your purpose. Fill my heart with your Holy Spirit.